The reading is Psalm 55, which is on page 575 of the Church Bibles. Psalm 55. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a Maskil of David. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked. For they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Confuse the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Ali, thank you very much for reading that. Now, I don't know if you read a blog article on the St. Mary's website a few weeks back. It was written by a lady from our 4 o'clock congregation, and she titled the article "Joy in All Circumstances." In the blog, she shares how around Christmas time, her dad died of COVID, and at the same time, her mum also caught COVID. Her mum is spent a long time recovering, and she spent a long time caring for her mum in her recovery. But remarkably, in this horribly tough time, she was able to see God working for good through it all. In the blog, she lists out 8 ways she saw God's goodness through this tough time. And in one of them, she said this: "Thank God for the Psalms. I often didn't know what to pray or what passages to read. On some days, events were so frantic, I admit that I didn't have time or energy, but I thank God for the Psalms, which are nice and quick to read, and so apt for crying out to the Lord. Now, her experience with the Psalms is one that echoes many people's down the ages. The Psalms are the Bible's songbook, as Kate was saying, some great songs of praise, but also some songs of lament, at times of suffering where individuals cry out to the Lord. The Psalms, for many, have been used in great time of trial as kind of like a balm for the souls in times of pain. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be spending some time in the Psalms. We're going to be looking at the Psalms from starting here, Psalm 55, and we picked a number between here and Psalm 67. A number of these are Psalms of lament in times of suffering. And I pray and I hope that the Lord will use these Psalms for great good. I pray that we'll be able to declare, like the lady from the 4 o'clock, that I thank God for the Psalms in those times of suffering. Now, in a moment, we will dive into Psalm 55. But before then, I want us to think briefly about how we read and understand the Psalms. Now, some people absolutely love the Psalms, and some of us, I know, find the Psalms harder. I think one of the reasons we can find it harder is a lot of the Bible is Paul, say, for example, speaking to a church, clearly from a message from God to the church. Whereas the Psalms are strange because they are someone like David speaking to the Lord. How do we interpret that? Do we take David's words all the time to our lips, and do we speak those to the Lord ourselves? Now, that works quite well at times. Verse 1 in our passage says, "Listen to my prayer, O God, do not ignore my plea." That would be a wonderful prayer for us to pray. But at times, that can get a bit trickier. So verse 15, for example, "Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave." Now, that's much harder for us to pray. Perhaps we don't think we have enemies, and we don't think we should be praying for their early deaths. So rather than thinking straight away, we need to be speaking and praying these Psalms, I think it's really helpful for us to be first and foremost to be listening to what God has to say to us through the Psalms. Hopefully coming up on the screen is a diagram, which I find helpful. Perhaps it's coming up. We'll see in a sec once it comes up. There we go. Like the rest of the Bible, the primary direction is from God to us. Through the Psalms, God is speaking to us. So we're asking questions like, what do we see of God? What is he saying to us? What do we see of Jesus in these Psalms? That's our primary expectation. And secondarily, we can take the Psalms to our lips. Having gone through thinking what God is saying to us, we can use those Psalms as wonderful prayers of praise or crying out to the Lord. I hope that's helpful and makes a bit of sense as we engage with the Psalms over the coming weeks. But let me pray now before we dive into this Psalm, Psalm 55. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how precious the Psalms have been to many down the ages. Lord, we thank you for how they speak so helpfully of your goodness in times of trials, how they speak so helpfully of great songs of praise and adoration to you. And Lord, we ask that this evening you would be speaking to us through this psalm, that you would reveal Christ to us through this psalm, that you would give us comfort and strength through the toughest of times. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we're going to split this psalm in two parts, we'll be going through like that, and at the end, we'll have one big point of application. So, our first part is this, our first point: God's anguished and betrayed king cries out to God. And we see that in the first half of the passage. God's anguished and betrayed king cries out to God. I wonder if you have a Bible in front of you. If you look down from verse 4, we see how David is feeling as he writes this psalm. He says this: "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm." Down to his very core, David is in anguish and horror. He is not coping. He longs to escape. He describes, "If only I had wings, I could fly away to a distant land." The mighty King David is not exalted in his palace, far away from any pain or suffering. No, it seems as if he just wants to curl up in a ball and escape. His mental state is all over the place. And he tells us the cause of this terror from verse 9 to 14. We find out in these verses that his mighty enemies are not kind of off in a distant land, far outside his city. No, they are like lions prowling around on the city walls. They are causing destruction within his own streets. Yet in verse 12, we see even more severe pain, and it comes from an even closer source. "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from it. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God." David's city, Jerusalem, is not only full of opposition, but one of his closest friends has become one of his enemies. A brother who he shared life and fellowship with has joined his enemies to do harm against him. I don't know if you've ever experienced like a close friend or family member or someone that we have shared a lot of life with kind of drift away. Kind of your relationship has been broken. It's hard. It hurts. It's painful. And here, not only has this friend of David's drifted away, a broken relationship, but he has become his enemy. And it's this depth of betrayal that has caused David such grief and terror. And so what does David do? Verse 1, he cries out to God, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me." David is not only looking for God to hear what he has to say, but he is looking for the Lord to act in his situation. He is looking for God to make a difference in the trauma that he is going through. David knows he does not have power over this situation. He goes to the Lord, the God, the sovereign ruler, who does. I don't know about you, but as I read this psalm, I just feel and kind of have a bit of a sense of the terror that David is experiencing, the anguish and pain. I don't want to imagine it, but I can begin to picture the sadness, the pain he must have experienced. But this does not only help us understand and feel David's terror, but it helps us understand the experience of God's ultimate King, Jesus Christ. The anguish and betrayal of Jesus is even greater than that of David. In John's Gospel, King Jesus declares to his disciples, "Have I not chosen you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." And John adds this note, he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. One of Jesus' chosen 12 disciples, one of individual that he has shared life with for 3 years, a close friend, joins Jesus' enemies. He is the one who hands Jesus over to death. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing his betrayal and death is coming, Jesus shows his anguish. In Matthew's gospel, he tells his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In this state, Jesus asks God whether he can escape, whether he could fly away. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Our King, God's ultimate King, is no stranger to anguish and betrayal. No, he felt it to an even greater extent than David. He cried out to the Lord in his pain and distress, longing that there might be a way out. Friends, perhaps you can relate to some of the horrors of this psalm. Perhaps you're overwhelmed and long to escape. Perhaps you've experienced betrayal and harm at the hands of someone that you were once close to. And perhaps you wonder whether anyone cares, anyone understands what you are going through. But if you're a Christian believer, your King understands. Not in a theoretical way, but he has experienced what you are going through. I sometimes wonder in my own life how many times I go before God with kind of a mask up, thinking that he wants me to have like a stiff upper lip in times of hardship, even when things are really not okay. But we see here our King going through great anguish and betrayal, and we can cry out to him. It is right that we come before God. It is right that we come before God with tears in our eyes, anguish in our hearts, and cry out to him. And it's not that he is distant from us, but he knows our pain. A few weeks back, Simon was talking about Aslan from the C.S. Lewis Narnia books. I wonder if you remember, he kind of brought his lion up onto the stage. And for those that don't know, Aslan is the lion who is the picture of Jesus Christ in those books. And there is one scene in one of the books, The Magician's Nephew, where a little boy called Diggory comes up to Aslan. Diggory's mum is sick, and he wants Aslan's help, but he's afraid. And Lewis writes this: "Up till then, he had been looking at the lion's great front feet and the huge claws on them. Now, in his despair, he looked up at its face. What he saw surprised him as much as anything in his whole life. For the tawny face was bent down near his own, and great shining tears stood in the lion's eyes. They were such big, bright tears compared with Diggory's own that for a moment he felt as if the lion must really be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. 'My son, my son,' said Aslan. 'I know. Grief is great. Only you and I in this land know that yet. Let us be good to one another.'" Friends, our King knows. He truly knows what we are going through. Go to him. Can I just say, as we're kind of thinking on this point, if you are experiencing the feelings of David in this psalm, then it's always going to be best to start by going to God. He really cares. He really knows what is going on. But also, we as your church family really care as well. Please do speak to someone you trust in the congregation, whether it's a member of staff or someone else. Please don't be suffering alone. God's anguished and betrayed king cries out to God. And our second point is this. God's king knows the Lord will hear and save. This is the second half of the passage from verse 16. God's king knows the Lord will hear and save. I wonder if you can see the kind of sense, the change in tone from verse 16. David declares, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." David is no longer asking God to hear him, but he is declaring with certainty that God will hear him, and God will save him. Now, there's a great contrast, an enormous contrast in this section. And it's between how God treats David, his king, and how God treats David's enemies. Do you see how the Lord treats David? Verse 16, he saves David. Verse 17, he hears David. Verse 18, he ransoms or redeems David as battle is waged against him. Whereas verse 19, the Lord does hear David's enemies, but what he hears is their lack of repentance, their lack of fear of him, and he afflicts them. Later on, we see God brings them down and casts judgment on them. The way David describes the situation here in verse 18 is as if he has been thrust into a battle with enemies against him who have drawn their swords. Perhaps you can imagine one of those kind of great kind of gladiatorial battles of the Roman Empire, kind of thinking Russell Crowe and Gladiator type thing. But instead of Russell Crowe, you've got in the gladiatorial arena, you've got David and his enemies. And the question is, what is God doing during this? Is he stood in the stands, kind of watching on as a neutral, kind of applauding as things go on? Perhaps he has a slight preference for one or the other. No, it's very clear from this passage that he's not in the stands at all. He is down on the battleground fighting for his king. He is fighting for his man, David. The blows are about to come down on his king, and God jumps in the way with his shield to protect him. He doesn't only go on the defensive, blocking the coming attack, but he also takes down the enemy. We see so clearly that God is willing to hear and save his king, and in the process, take down his enemies. This is, of course, true for David. But again, it is even more true for God's ultimate king, Jesus. Christ has the ear of God the Father. They are always on the same side. And God does everything to hear and save Christ. And in the process, he defeats Christ's enemies. We see this most clearly 3 days after Christ has been betrayed and has died. 3 days after death, God saves his king. He raises Christ from the dead. And in the process, defeats Christ's great enemies of sin, Satan, the world, and death. God's king knows with absolute certainty that the Lord hears and saves him. But what about us? How do we fit in to all this? Well, David turns his focus to the people, to us in verse 22, and he shows the people two scenarios. He starts by speaking to the faithful people stood there with David. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. Do we see the scenarios? Either we stand with God's king, and we find the Lord who will sustain us through the toughest of times, or we stand with the wicked as enemies of God's King, and God will bring us down. In that gladiatorial arena, there is no doubt what side God is on. He is with his King, Jesus Christ, hearing and saving his King. But the question lies, as we enter the arena, which side will we stand on? Will we stand with Christ? Will we take up his shield with his emblem on it? Or will we stand with the enemy? In verse 22, we are given a wonderful promise, a wonderful encouragement if we are stood with Christ. If we are with God's King, then he encourages us, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Friends, this is not because we are great, or we are worthy of blessing, or our prayers are good enough standard that he will answer them and sustain us. But no, it's because we are standing with God's King. It's because we are praying in Jesus' name, knowing that it is in Christ's name that the Lord hears us and cares and sustains us and changes us and doesn't let the righteous fall. Cast your cares on the Lord. David isn't encouraging God's people to do this, giving us this verse 22, because it's like a nice memory verse or a nice magnet to go in the fridge, kind of one of those ones with the verses on and a lovely background. No, David is saying this because he himself has learnt it. He has learnt through his experience. Through this psalm, he has been showing God's people that he knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to be in anguish and betrayed. And he has learnt that crying out to the Lord, casting your concerns on him, is what is best. He is declaring, trust me, I've experienced this in my life. Trust me, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Friends, if you're in Christ, if you're a Christian believer, then this is true for you. You really can cast your cares on the Lord. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word cast. I think of myself as an 11-year-old going fishing. I've only gone fishing once, and that was as an 11-year-old, so please excuse me if you know what you're talking about fishing, because I don't have a clue. But all I remember as a kid is putting the maggots on the hook and putting the bait out, and then trying to throw this bait as far as it can go and land it in the water. And then I reeled it in, and then comes back. It's like a fish like this big, and I was really pleased with myself or something. But I think this kind of casting imagery is a wonderful one. In our burdens and concerns and our weights and our worries, David is declaring we cast those, we throw them out onto the Lord. And what comes back? Well, his sustaining, his helping us to persevere, not letting us fall through the darkest times. Perhaps you're experiencing great hardship and trial at the moment. Cast your cares on the Lord. Perhaps you're not experiencing this, but you know someone who is. Perhaps you long to help and support friends, possibly here in the church family, who are going through great trials and burdens. We can long to serve and love and be good friends. But we must remember that we are not the Saviour. It is the Lord. Encourage our friends and family. Cast your cares on the Lord. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who saves. As we cast our cares on the Lord, David is not declaring that all burdens will vanish, gone. Life will be easy. But he is promising that God will sustain us. He will not allow us to fall. He will provide all we need for each and every day. It is a wonderful promise. I don't know what the future will hold for you. It could well be great suffering ahead, and I really pray it isn't. But whatever the future holds, the thing that I pray most is through the toughest of times that you will cast your cares on the Lord, knowing his sustaining, knowing that he cares and really understands what you're going through, knowing that you can trust him. I pray that you will be able to declare the words that David finishes his psalm with. But as for me, I trust in you, the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great and mighty King, who was not distant from suffering and pain, but experienced great anguish and betrayal. Thank you that in King Jesus, we have one who knows our pain and difficulties. Thank you that his tears are even greater than ours for our mourning and pain. Lord, please would you help us to know we can cast our cares on you. Please would you help us to have great assurance that we can trust you with the burdens of life. And please, we pray, would you sustain us? Please would you keep that promise of your sustaining hand. In Jesus' name, amen.